It's Zacchaeus Sunday. Those of you who have been around for a few years will know that that's the signal that Lent is coming. I wanted to talk to you today, since you're all probably pretty familiar with the story of Zacchaeus, the hated, despised, social outcast of a short tax collector that he was. I wanted to talk to you today about what our Lord says right near the end when he says, today this too is a son of Abraham. We've actually talked a bit about what it means to be children of Abraham. Paul and our Lord make it actually quite clear that we are all children of Abraham. But I want to take a look in particular at Zacchaeus. What was it that led our Lord to say he is a son of Abraham? And I think part of it was, of course, he was reintegrating Zacchaeus into the people of God. Because as far as the Jews were concerned at that time, the people of God were simply the children of Abraham. Any descendants of Abraham were sort of automatically members of the people of God. But I think there's a bit more to it than that. You know the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see him. And of course, it wasn't quite that simple because he was short. He was a tax collector and thus a social outcast, and people weren't exactly about to sort of make way for him. At this point, Jesus was pretty famous. He was surrounded by crowds everywhere, so Zacchaeus would inevitably be on the outside of the crowds, or sort of, excuse me. And of course, nobody would make way for Zacchaeus. If anything, they'd like step on his toes or something like that, because they could. You know, it was a crowd, and get away with it. But Zacchaeus really, really wanted to see Jesus, because there was something about this teacher that was different. He didn't separate himself from people like some of the other teachers did. He seemed to be open. He had a bit of a reputation for eating with tax collectors and sinners. And so when he heard that Jesus was coming to his town, to Jericho, he planned ahead. He figured out which way the procession would inevitably go, ran ahead, and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Not the most dignified thing one could do, especially, you know, a rich man like Zacchaeus, climbing up in his robes to look down. You know, that's what you do when you're a kid, right? And it's like, but he was bound and determined to see Jesus. So he laid aside his dignity, girded up his robes, and climbed up into the sycamore tree to wait just so he could catch a glimpse of this teacher who was going past. And the crowd comes along, and Zacchaeus and Jesus is in sort of in the middle of the crowd, and then the crowd kind of swirls around the tree, and because Jesus is coming right up to the tree, and he looks up and he says directly to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. I've got to stay at your house today." And it says Zacchaeus received him with great joy. He was absolutely ecstatic. He put on a great banquet. And as he did so, he heard the murmurs. He heard what people were saying about Jesus because he was at Zacchaeus' house eating and drinking with him. "This man eats with sinners. How could he possibly be a good teacher? How can anybody follow this guy? He's hanging out with traitors like Zacchaeus." And so at that point, Zacchaeus gets up and says, "Lord, Today I give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything by accusing them unjustly, I will restore it fourfold. If we think about this story, I think we can see at least two parallels, maybe three, between Zacchaeus and Abraham. That might, in addition to our Lord just simply saying, look, this too is one of the children of God, might also give us some sense of the parallel between Zacchaeus and Abraham, and maybe by extension, us. The first thing was Zacchaeus was willing to give up everything that he had, his dignity and even ultimately his wealth, so he could see Jesus. Abraham, likewise, when God called him, said and told him, okay, go into a land which I will show you. He left his father, he left his father's city, all his relations. Well, he brought Lot with him, which caused problems later on. but he just picked up, packed up everything and set off for who knew where. He didn't know what the outcome would be. I mean, he kind of had some sense that he was going to where God was going to show him, but that's about it. Likewise, we, if we are going to be children of Abraham, if we are going to follow the example of Abraham and Zacchaeus, we need to be willing to give up everything. Our dignity, our wealth, whatever little we might have of it, our security, just to catch a glimpse of God. The second thing that we see is that Zacchaeus is really, really concerned with what other people are saying about Jesus because of him. And he recognizes that he is not above or beyond reproach. He realizes there is work to do on his life. He's got a bit of a reputation. More than that. And so he gets up and he says, without any knowledge of what the result of this pronouncement is going to be. And but that's the kind of person he is, or was at least was becoming, or was inspired to be becoming by Jesus. It's like, Lord, I get it. Everybody here is questioning my financial integrity. I'm rich. And they say and they see that these riches come to me from my job as a tax collector. I'm going to move that out of the way. Half of all of my riches I am going to give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it to them fourfold. So the second thing we see in Zacchaeus is that he was inspired by Jesus, inspired by his association with Jesus, to work on and to do whatever he had to do to become a man of integrity. One of the things we forget about Abraham is that, yeah, okay, he was a man of God. He was a man of faith. But he too had struggles. He too had to work at being a person of integrity. I was just, as I was preparing for the sermon this morning, rereading some of the stories of Abraham, and I happened to read the one where Abraham is going down into Egypt with his wife Sarah. And his wife Sarah is very, very beautiful. And Abraham is afraid. And so he says to Sarah, you know what? If because you're so beautiful, the Egyptians are going to want you. And they'll probably, we're going into this foreign land, so they'll probably just kill me to get you. So just tell everybody that you're my sister. Brilliant plan. Works great. He gets down to Egypt, and the Pharaoh takes a shine to Abraham's wife. It's like, oh, wow, she's really beautiful. And so he's like, oh, so who is she? Oh, she's my sister. Okay, well, hey, you know what? Why don't you, she can come and be a part of my harem. So Pharaoh takes Sarah, Abraham's wife, into his harem or his palace, and immediately he and all of his people start getting sick. And he realizes something's wrong, and he makes inquiries, and he realizes that Abraham has lied to him. And that because of Abraham's lie, he's gotten himself involved not with Abraham's sister, but with Abraham's wife. And he kind of recognizes this is God's judgment. Abraham basically messed up big time. In fact, he gets kicked out of Egypt because of it, basically. Pharaoh says to him, take your wife back and get out of here. So we tend, and people in Jesus' day as well tended to have this sense of, oh, Abraham, he was the great father of us all. He was the man of faith. And because they tended to think that way, they tended to look at anybody who wasn't living that way and kind of look down their noses at them, like, for example, Zacchaeus. But Jesus says, I tell you today, this man too is a son of Abraham. Because the story of Abraham doesn't end there. Abraham keeps going wherever God tells him to go. He keeps working at figuring out how to be a person of integrity. And as he keeps working at it, so God continues to bless him, continues to guide him. And so Abraham becomes the great man of faith, the great father of us all that we understand him to be. The last thing that I think we can see a parallel in with Zacchaeus and with Abraham and with us, is that without fully comprehending exactly what it was that they were doing, in being open, in being hospitable, in sitting down with other people and with this person who came. In Abraham's case, it was the three strangers who showed up on his doorstep. Well, tents. Do tents have doors? His tent flap step. And he welcomes them. And he lays a meal before them. And then receives from them this promise. The promise that Sarah, who has been so long barren, would have a son. At which Sarah laughs, which from where Isaac gets his name, which means laughter. But Abraham didn't know exactly who these people were. He possibly had some sense of it, but he was just being open. He was just being welcoming and hospitable. And in doing so, he was, as Paul puts it much later, entertaining angels unaware. More than that, he's in his negotiations with the angel before Sodom, we kind of realize he's negotiating with God himself. He has received the word of God. Sat with him. eaten with him. Likewise, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus probably didn't understand who exactly Jesus was. He had some sense of it. He had some sense that this man was special, that he was amazing. But he was just simply struck by who he was. He received him for who he was. And he throws this big banquet in his honor, and he's celebrating with him and with all sorts of other people. Because it's no fun just to feast on your own. Got to invite other people into the joy, which is exactly what Jesus, what Zacchaeus did. And that, too, is what we are invited to do here and now. As children of Abraham, we are invited to sit down and eat with God himself. We are invited to the great feast, to the banquet. How do we get here? How did we manage to come here? We are all on a journey, whether we realize it or not. We're all in different stages of that journey, because we all have different starting points. But our journey is ultimately towards God. We are willing, or if we're not entirely willing, we're working on being willing to give up everything, to lay aside our dignity, to lay aside our security, and simply follow Jesus. Simply seek God. Simply go wherever he tells us to go. We are seeking to be men and women of integrity. We realize that what we do and say reflects on the one whom we are associating with. And as we realize that, that inspires us to work on whatever it is that we need to work on. To become who we are. As Jesus says, you know, don't bother swearing by all sorts of extravagant things. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be people of such integrity that if you say yes, then there everybody who hears that just automatically says, well, then it's yes. And if you say no, everybody will absolutely say, well, okay, well, I guess that's it. Said no. This person is a person of integrity. That's what we are working towards. But ultimately, what needs to define us is that joy in the presence of God, and that overflows into joy in the presence of all of those around us. That openness that Abraham had, that whereby he was willing to entertain these people, these strangers, who were in fact angels in his midst. If we have this desire to follow God, if we have this desire to be people of integrity, if we have this openness, then we too can be children of Abraham. We too can be inheritors of that promise. The promise that God will not abandon us, that he will work in and through us, and that he will, in his work, make the kingdom of heaven a reality amongst us, to his glory. The glory of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.